This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
You can talk me into it.
What, the wishbone?
Sure, you can talk me into it.
Get out of here.
And the Bulldog.
The Lombardi Trophy could be in here, and I would pick it up and treat it like a roll-on deodorant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, everyone. Happy Friday. Bulldog is not here, so I and the Lombardi Trophy both relieved that it's not in here right now, and that's being missed, that opportunity. If I may speak for the Lombardi Trophy. I am here for your calls. Sneaky Joe is with me. We'll do fantasy if you let us, but there are a lot of Saber takes floating around. We're closer to the trade deadline. We've talked about that at least a little bit, pretty much every day in here for a while. I don't know how interesting it will be, but it's at least somewhat important, the deadline every year. I did a lot on the Astros earlier, and Tom Brady and the future of certain quarterbacks around the league is really fun to talk about. Talking to Steve Palazzolo, a lot of fans just want it because it's different. And I am totally like that. I want it because it's different. I want movement. I'm a fantasy player, and the movement is every skilled player who moves changes teams is like a catalyst for interest. Like it gets you look all I do anyway, is I'm obsessed, but I'll look at the whole league over again and figure out what maybe are the ramifications of that move. And those can be wide ranging. It's if Brady goes to another team, it would have an impact on all the skill guys on that team, all the skill guys on his own team, who will be the new quarterback of his old team. Where will the quarterback of the team he's going to move to? All of that. And I really like that. So free agency is fun, and the draft coming up will add to that. So if you want to do football, I am here for all of it. 803-0550. Just because... For 2 hours, I've said, I want to talk about Bogosian for a minute being waived. I'll do that now, and if it ends up spawning a conversation about Jason Botterill or Jack Eichel or anything pertaining to them, I'm ready for it. This morning, last few mornings, I've been on Twitter just, you know, I want to do my part, I guess. I want to do my part in just expressing my frustration with the team and how it just wasn't better this year. Like, you know, why wasn't it better? Like, why wasn't the Sabres season better, or at least isn't so far? What is your answer to that? What do you think their answer to that is? I know what Jason Botterill said the last time we sat with him to that question. I asked him if he was surprised that the season wasn't going better, and he pointed to certain players who he was expecting, he said, to score more goals. And that's probably Jeff Skinner, and that's probably Marcus Johansson, and it might be Jimmy Vesey, and it might be Kyle Oposo. I don't know. Like, it might be a few guys. It wouldn't be Victor Olofsson, right? Let's hope it wouldn't be Victor Olofsson. Yeah, I thought I'd have 30 from him by now. And for me, like, I know that in general and in a certain specific way, guys like us, and it's been the same few guys here at WGR for so many years, we can sound like know-it-alls. Like, we can sound like, well, we know this is going to happen. Why wouldn't the Bills or the Sabres know that this is going to happen? Why wouldn't you know that this is going to happen, right? Like, I know how that can sound. I don't know, it's not to say that it should always sound a certain way, but the idea, as I look at it, the idea is you want to speak as an authority, you want to speak, you know, with confidence, and you know, it's the debate club. It's whatever. I also mean it, but whatever the thing is, you want to stand behind it and you want to sell it. And in this case with them, the statistics have been so revealing over the last few years as hockey analysts have gotten more and more well-versed, or there have been more of them. The whole thing has grown, and that allows for more people like me. I don't consider myself an expert on it, but I'm certainly curious about it, and I respect it. Allows for us a chance to tap into it and see, well, how is it best to measure value in this sport? Like, who is actually good? And for most of my life, there was not this way of evaluating players. So certain guys, Ristolainen is obviously the name here. Certain guys are just going to look like good players, so they must be good players. Can they move? Are they big? Right? And you just, without having anything more than what they call counting stats, like goals and assists, without anything more than that, how would you measure how good a player was? I mean, plus minus is so terrible at this. And for most of my life, I leaned on it. Like, well, what is this plus minus? I remember how much it meant to me that Thomas Vanek led the league in plus minus in 2007. I thought that was so cool. Like, look, he's also a defensive forward. And then for a few years, you had Lindy Ruff as Drury left and Briere left, and then Campbell left, really like sort of holding this idea up that Vanek, I want him to be the best two-way, this or that. Like, he had those kind of goals for him, and he was just never really that player, but he also was never really that player in the first place. So stats can mislead you, but it's way better than that now, and maybe it's we'll get way better still. It convinced me, I mean, a few years ago, really, it convinced me that it was an avenue that really not only should be respected, but used. Like, if your team is not looking at these kind of statistics for how good your players are, then you're just doing it wrong. And sometimes, like, these kind of oddball arguments sprout up on Twitter where people wrongly position what the place what the two sides really are. Like, if I'm for numbers, that doesn't mean, and again, like, I'm not an expert, I know who is. And looking at that side of it, it doesn't mean I don't watch games. It doesn't mean that I can't tell sometimes if a player is good or bad from watching games. I don't need statistics to tell me that Jack Eichel is good, but they will tell me more than I already know. And I also know that I have major biases, because everybody does, necessarily. We all do. So you're going to think that the big player is better than the small player because he's bigger. And that's it. You're going to have to fight through that stuff. So anyway, it just has had me at a point of just despair, that the Sabres seem so unimpressed or blind to some of this stuff. And Ristolainen is the, as he has been for years, literally, is the focal point, because he is the perfect example of the player who looks like a good hockey player, and the numbers just crush him. You have these little sections of seasons where, like, hey, and is that defense pairing? Is that system? He's been through lots of coaches. Is that something else? And then it inevitably reverts, like this year has. It's been a horrible 4 or 5 weeks for him statistically. It's just, you know. And every time that happens, I'm like, how are we still here? Like, how are we still at this point where the Sabres have not figured out what to do or to do something? And I would have told you, this is not bragging, this is just matter of fact, I would have told you 2 or 3 years ago, at least two, I can remember details, 2 years ago, maybe three, maybe more, we're going to have a tough time getting good if he's on the team playing a lot. And, like, what has actually happened? Can someone tell me? You have Eichel, who's playing at this insane, elite, maybe first-team all-star pace, and, like, they're still just, I don't know. Like, it's not to say, and hopefully some of you will really listen to this, it's not to say that this is all of it, but it's a major piece. They've added all these defensemen, and their defense is still not even really that good. And you've got other guys back there, including Bogosian, since he's been here the whole time, where it's just like, what am I getting out of this? Big beard, big guy, the occasional play, the occasional hit, injuries, yes. What's the value of this? What is the actual value of this? Because I'll watch the games too, but I'm going to look over there, and then I'm going to figure out value per dollar. I'm going to hate my life because these two guys have both made more than $5 million a year, and my team is getting crushed. So with all due respect to Bogosian, he was on the show once, and he was you know, an angel. He was great to talk to. With all due respect to the guy, he's had a career that I have not had playing in that league. I respect those guys, all of them, for that. This team has been in the dregs, and these players are a big reason why. And so when he gets waived, I feel like a little bit good because I'm like, all right, well, this is maybe a sign of progress. I don't feel anything like that toward him personally. It's never like that. It's just, oh, you know, can somebody like also cop to this? Finally. Your reaction is finally. So he's not going to play for them anymore. That's what this does. Like, he's not going to play for them anymore. And maybe it's a step toward, well, in my mind, more of a numbers-based way of figuring out who should play for your team, like a lot of other teams do. Kevin Adams was on the station this morning. He talked a lot about on and off the ice, but he did in his comments about the future, he talked about how much ownership is paying attention and cares and all this. Maybe you heard it, but he did like at the beginning and then again at the end, brought up figuring out, and I should probably quote him, right? I should probably do that for you. And I don't have it right in front of me because I read it and I thought like, okay, he sounded like he was talking like this, like we got to figure out. And it wasn't toward Botterill, you know, at all, like pointedly or anything like that. It's like figuring out how we determine, you know, who we are, whatever. All I'm saying, it was like, it made me feel a little bit good. Because it's just like way long overdue. I have a friend who used to work there, and I was talking to him recently about this team building and everything, and he knows, like all my friends do that listen to the show ever. Like they know what I'm about. I'm like, you watch all the games you want. I can not watch the game if I choose, and then look at the thing in the morning and tell you how it went. Not just the score. Like I can tell a story of that game just from the chart. Anybody could if they cared to. And so he knows how I've talked and what I've said about it. And he's like, well, they do have a numbers voice in the front office. I'm like, well, I certainly believe you. I just don't see proof of it. I don't see proof of it in their roster. And I don't know what Kruger is either, guys. Like, I don't know if Kruger is somebody who, what his attitude precisely is about that. I mean, he is pretty old school, and there have been some weird lineup things. I did an interview the other day when I was talking about him, and I couldn't really point too much myself. I could find people who could probably do a good job of it, but like pairings and certain like details, but this whatever you can do to describe their system, it's just not for offense. I was in a Twitter conversation today about Pilot, and I wanted to figure out why Pilot's expected goals percentage was so low. I'm like, wait, he's good, right? What's going on here? And it was explained to me, Chad DeDominicis, another guy named Kevin, I should get his last name. I don't even know if he wants people to know it, but he's like a super smart Sabre guy on this. And these are the guys I talked to, a couple of them. And we got into Pilot a little bit. You can read it. There wasn't anything more to it that isn't right there on Twitter. And, you know, he's kind of a victim in a sense. And I feel like from listening to Kruger the other day on WGR about Pilot, I just feel like the way Kruger talked about him had me thinking, like, he's temporary. He was sent down today, but like Joe is saying in sports, it might not be meaningful. Like, maybe he's just called up Sunday for their next game, paper move or something, but he's been up and down a lot. Kruger talked about him, to my ears, like somebody who, you know, use the word prospect, I think, and, you know, we're trying to figure it out. It's a good spot for him right now. They're going to trade Pilot to a smart team. That's my prediction. I've been saying Carolina. They're going to trade him to a team that is going to do things differently, and he's going to flourish. That's what I expect. And that is so negative. I know it. You don't have to tell me. But I've just got to see like some real stuff. And maybe today is a step. But I can't take this thing seriously until Ristolainen is gone. He should have been gone years ago. It should have been easy. You should have gotten somebody really good for him too. And just like it never happened. And it's incredible. And I'm still sitting here at the bottom going, when? Why? How come? What is going on? When will this actually change? Joe, this isn't fantasy at all.
No, it isn't. I discovered, by the way, in the midst of this, that Thomas Vanek got 6% of the Selke vote in 2007.
Is that low for?
I mean, it's 14.
Was it plus 42?
Plus 47.
Plus 47. Come on, it was the Dark Ages. That should have meant everything. President's
That's
Trophy.
Probably why he got votes.
President's Trophy. Do you have the whole vote? Do you have Drury getting votes on that?
He was fourth.
Yeah,
21%
right?
of the vote.
See, that was the problem. The vote was split. Here is Steve on WGR. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I got a quick question. I was wondering, with Bottrell being an ex-player, ex-Saber, do you think these GMs tend to keep guys longer than they have to just because they know how the game works with families and just, you know, everything else? They just tend to keep guys longer than they should because it shows that Bottrell loves to keep guys that are doing nothing with the Sabres but take money from them. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks.
Okay. No, I don't think that. I mean, that's pretty harsh, right? Like, I gotta think that my GM, every GM is going to be prepared to fire players. And maybe some are better at that than others, but I don't think there's a logical connection really there that I would worry about. But I do think in sports, players have a tougher time understanding value because they've learned it in a locker room. And you have players running. Hockey's just like all the teams are run by players. Almost all the teams are run by players. And I don't know. Like that doesn't mean that they can't do a good job. You have Yzerman, like you've got guys who've succeeded at it within the certain context when they're competing against teams that are also run by players. And Botterill has a business acumen. Like he's not, for me, like the prototype of somebody, you know. Somebody else might call it like a dumb jock. I do not use that term because there's no reason why you can't be smart and good at sports. Like that has never been my phrase. But I think if you're inside a box when it comes to candidates and you want players, then you're really limiting yourself. And the Sabres also, like Botterill's predecessor did not play in the NHL. He was hockey lifer. I mean, Murray was obviously from the sport. I think it goes the way baseball went, which is that as this is exactly what happened, and I watched it all unfold and it made perfect sense, and it will happen in all sports. Owners are the key. And owners are going to learn as they have gradually, and there are all kinds of examples, they have gradually how to figure out what value is. These are rich people who made their own fortune, and a lot of them did it themselves as opposed to having it handed to them. And so there's a certain way of thinking there that I think works for owners. And as they – now, this doesn't have to take so long for some of them, but, you know, you get into sports. Like, well, how do we deter- – how do we – have you been in meetings? Do you work in an office? The boss is like, how do we figure this out? Well, how do we know this? You know, like that guy or the woman in your meeting who's like sort of probing all the time, figuring it out. And if you did that in NHL offices, I mean, if I did that, my head would probably explode. Like, just how did you determine that this player was a good player or that this player wasn't? It is kind of like the Moneyball thing. Yes, that was a movie, but it was based on like a real sports team where exactly this happened. They brought a guy in who understood the flaws in the system. And all the guys who were the scouts that had really just all been kind of trained the same way couldn't even deal with it. Like they just didn't make sense. It wasn't respectable. It wasn't anything worth listening to. And baseball just flipped it. Certain teams had success at the right time and just, you know what, we're going that way. And I think there's no real reason why every sport wouldn't also do that. Thanks, Steve. Sports next. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Shope, and lines are open now on WGR.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The decade nights, Adidas doesn't make authentic jerseys from the different eras. But so organizationally, we wanted to kind of celebrate the nostalgia of the different eras. So ordering jerseys at 70s, 80s, you know, 90s. Obviously, 70s and 80s was the same process. It was well received. We heard from our fans that they didn't like the 90s. And that's why we pivoted last night. We put our alumni in the 50th jerseys. Obviously, that jersey's been incredible. And I think across the league, everybody loves it. But, you know, I mentioned this yesterday, that there was a deadline missed by previous leadership in terms of being able to wear that jersey for warm-up. You know, there's new leadership now. We acknowledge it, and we move on, and we work to be better.
Kevin Adams, nicely done. Here's the thing, though. Like, this jersey thing was way worse than it needed to be. I mean, there were screw-ups. If you needed those jerseys, like, if you need to find your way to those jerseys... Like, if I say I'm the Sabres, right? And I want to do that because I'm sort of alert and I know that fans, especially of a certain demographic, which is a vital demographic to me, want to see them. I'm making every effort to make sure you know that I'm trying to do this. And instead, it was like the day passed and it was, well, there's no jerseys and we don't have them and can't get them. We didn't get permission. I mean, there are thousands of them hanging up in closets. I don't know. It just seemed like there could have been a better effort there. Just the whole complaint is really about, or was really about, attentiveness and listening. You know, it's like, do you notice how we feel? Gary Bettman was in the arena last night. He's probably got some legal commentary for why it wouldn't be possible if you miss a deadline to wear anything you want before a game. All those pink warm-ups and camo warm-ups and all those, I'm sure all the deadlines are always met. Or we can make some money over here. Is that all right? I mean, I'm not assuming at all that they're not. It's the process part of it. Why would anybody in leadership in the league not want there to be a money-making opportunity for an NHL team? Here, we'll do it. And if you can't make them for us, we will make them. How long would the line have been of fans offering their legit, authentic $275 black jerseys to be used, to be worn by Michael Pekka? Like, holy cow. So anyway, it's just about listening and caring and noticing and doing. Well, that's a list. Jim is on WGR. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to call and thank you for putting the idea in my head to bet on racing. I've been a race fan my whole life, and man, that was... I bet on the 2 125 races last night, and that was more exciting than the Kentucky Derby, man. The action on that's incredible.
All right. So we were talking about this yesterday, and then you went and did it.
Oh yeah, I made out pretty well last night. I mean, the odds are just last night was even nicer because the fields were split and we only have about 20 cars on the racetrack at a time. And each one's paying out at a minimum. Last night was like 10-1 was the lowest, and the one I hit on was about 25-1. It was amazing.
Very good. So this is cool. Like, you've got the knowledge to feel like you can predict races to some extent, right? And good for you if you went and used it. Good for you.
Yep, and if you would, or any of the listeners would, I mean, just go look at the practice times and look up what engine builds, or the smaller teams are going to have much better odds, but they're running the same engine as the larger teams. So it should be pretty good on Sunday if anybody wants to go do that.
All right, so what's a name for you on Sunday?
Well, the JTG cars, Ricky Stenhouse and Ryan Preece. Ryan Preece is looking at about a 50-1 odds, and he's running the same engine as Ricky Stenhouse, who's on the pole. It's just that he's a lower known driver. So I would go Ryan Preece and Ricky Stenhouse for that.
I like it a lot. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you calling to tell us about this.
Sure. Thanks.
All right. There it is, Joe. Jim out there betting races and winning.
Still not going to watch it.
Listen. If you had a bet on the Daytona 500 and it's 20 laps to go on your phone, the thing's like 3 or 4 hours. You're going to the 20 laps.
Maybe I would pay attention, and maybe if it was close, I would watch it right at the very end. This is almost like how I think my Mets bet's going to go. At the end of the day, I'm just not loving the product that is baseball, so I'm not going to watch early on.
Yes.
But if they are, you know, close to that number late in the season and there's drama, that'll get me to watch it. So it's going to be pay attention probably if I would have a bet on NASCAR in the beginning, and then if it's close, then I'll turn it on.
I like this
and then
guy.
I'll enjoy it.
I like this last guy though, Joe.
It'll be fun.
I said, what do you think Sunday? He's like Ryan Preece.
Sure.
+10,000.
Why is he +10,000 again?
He said about having like the same engine as the guy on the pole, but it's a smaller team, I think. He's probably back a little bit. Bulldog was yesterday saying how it doesn't really matter starting position so much. Maybe that's overrated. So
go for the underdog.
$100 wins you $10,000 if Ryan Preece wins the race. If he finishes in the top three, $2,500. 2.5 to 1. No, 25 to 1. 25 to 1 to finish in the top three. Don't tell me you're not going to watch if you had that action. If you had Ryan Preece and he's just not even crashed by the last 25 laps, you're totally turning that on. What are you watching? The news?
Or instead, what I can do is I can take the Houston Roughnecks -7.5 to beat the St. Louis Battlehawks on Sunday night.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
I'd rather do that.
At even odds.
It's a big
plus
line.
The VIG.
It's a big line for only playing one game, I think.
Maybe there's an overreaction?
1-0 versus 1-0, too.
All right. Throw out the record books.
It's tough to be a 7.5-point dog when you've never lost a football game.
I agree. Where's the respect? I'm on this Ryan Preece. It is written. Here's Dan with us. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, good.
Good. So I wanted to comment on Jason Botterill just in regards to his job safety. I'm wondering just sort of the pace he's moving with the trade market, if he has some sort of safety that he's going to be here for another offseason. And if so, I think we have a GM who's in a really good position to maybe dole out an offer sheet this offseason. I feel like the Pegulas are the kind that would move on him in the middle of a season or even not wait till the end of next offseason. And looking back, it seemed like we all waited for Marner to do something to make a move, and that might have even affected Skinner and just setting a price that we could agree on with him. And Montreal gave this sort of toothless offer sheet to Aho. Mm-hmm. If anything, it just sort of pushed that holdout to end. So even if Botterill just uses the offer sheet as a way to just kind of push this restricted free agent market along, I think that would be probably in his best interest. And then unrelated topic, I was listening to a podcast and it was unrelated to fantasy sports, but,
how dare you?
One of the hosts. You're right. One of the hosts mentioned that he is participating, even maybe leading an all sports fantasy league.
Yeah.
Which includes 9 or 10 different sports together. And I thought, wow, that'd be a way to just kind of keep all hands on everything.
I've heard of a couple of those. One, there's a listener of ours who has written me about a league like that. And I just haven't wanted the lift. So I didn't do it. And then there's also an industry league or a few where they're called the pentathlon or the heptathlon, and they could even be within one sport, but you've got a best ball team, you've got a super flex team, you've got a point spread game, like all kinds of things like that. So just even within football, your league ends up being a bunch of different leagues at once. And I think that that's not for everybody. I mean, a lot of people that I play with really just like the basic simplicity, one team. You know, I don't want to root for and against the same guy. But for me, all of this is just like, I don't know, it's like being in the poker room. if there's a game I think I can win, I want to play.
Well, for some of these team sports, just being able to, you know, picking entire teams instead of players on teams, and then if you've got individual golfers, individual NASCAR drivers, individual tennis, it's maybe a bit more manageable.
Yeah, you're following everything that way, if that's what you want to be doing. How about this, Dan, by the way? I got an invite into an Australian rules football league. I said yes. I mean, that's a bad sign, right? But I did. I said yes. I'm like, all right, I'll get into some Aussie football. I know, I remember the Sydney Swans. Like, I haven't done any research yet, so I'm probably already lagging, but I don't know. I'm going to try that. So,
cool.
Good idea. Thanks, Dan. And on Botterill, the offer sheet thing, he may need to have third-round picks to make certain offer sheets. But you're bringing up maybe, like, the number one question about the Sabres is, do they change general managers again? And I'll just say that with due respect to the guy, like, I wouldn't be afraid to do it. Because things have got to be looked at differently here. They've got to be decided differently. There's got to be action. And I'm not here to tell you one way or another whether what happened with Ryan O'Reilly is still hovering like a black cloud over this operation. But it could be. And if it is or it isn't, like, I've got to have swifter action, and I just still continue to cry out for more of a numbers-based approach to determining who plays and who's on the team versus who's not. And that has just really still not happened here. It is happening on other teams. It is happening a lot more on certain other teams, and I feel like I'm being left behind. And their results speak for themselves, don't they? You can't argue with those results. I could tell you that they ought to let a cat paw at league rosters and make decisions that way, which I wouldn't. I hope you know that. I wouldn't advocate for a cat pawing at names for trades. We're not there yet. But when you put up 9 years in a row without the playoffs, and 6 or 7 in a row where you haven't even been close, there's no bad idea versus what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, and this is how Kevin Adams talked a little bit this morning, really just has to be micro-analyzed. How is this happening? How is this happening with Eichel as Eichel? How is this happening? It's a good question. It's hard. But it needs to be tackled. 803-0550. Thank you, Dan. Sneaky Joe tonight, or is there...
Nope, tonight. Full 2 hours.
You are on tonight. No Niagara?
No Niagara. That was Wednesday. Next Friday, Niagara.
What about the Bandits?
Sister station, ESPN 1520.
Tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Went to the Bandits game last week.
How was it?
Great.
Fun, right?
Fun, loud, exciting, fun. Entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good atmosphere. Loved it.
How much did it cost you?
$20 or so.
To sit pretty low, wherever you wanted almost?
Yeah, pretty much, wherever we wanted.
Good for you. Good idea.
Leafs game, by the way. I looked at that.
Leafs Sunday.
Just to see what it would cost to be in there. I'm going to be in there anyway because I'll be doing the Sabres Radio Network in place of Brian, but like $60.
Cheapest ticket?
Which makes me think it's going to be 80% Leaf fans.
Yeah, and it's on a weekend?
There's no Sabre fans paying $60 right now. For 300 level tickets. If you look at the last couple of weeks, and this has been spread around social media a lot, but it's on the secondary market, they've been really low.
Yeah, six. Six is, I think, as low as they let you go.
Yeah, and they're 10 times that for Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have been for years in a group of season ticket holders, a lot of people, and it's kind of like just a given that a lot of them are going to try to flip the Leaf tickets to help pay for their tickets. That's just where we're at. You get into these things for the playoffs, not to make money. Not to go or to not go to Leaf games. You get into these groups to go to playoff games. At least that's how I remember it. Mike Shope with Sneaky Joe. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR. You may have heard that the Rolling Stones are coming back. We have a pair of tickets to give away right now. Caller 5 at 716-644-9878 wins the tickets. The concert is Saturday, June 6th at New Era Field. The minimum value of the prize is $180. The prize is courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Tickets went on sale today at livenation.com. But winning them is, of course, way better. I brought up this concert with my wife. This is like Bulldogs area concerts, stadium shows, bucket list bands. Brought it up at home. Probably Bulldogs influence. Like, what do you think about the Rolling Stones at the stadium this year? And I thought she was intrigued. I think maybe there's a chance that I will go to that, which, you know, probably. And I think I'd expect that to not impress you at all. Like, why should that impress you? Don't let it. But I've just never been, like, big rock concert guy or country concert guy or anything like just no crowds and no thanks. In my life, I have in the past, in certain situations, taken credit for seeing the Killers at Grant Park in Chicago at Lollapalooza show or whatever that was in Chicago. But really, I was just at a friend's apartment, which was in a like 42nd floor of a building. And we opened the windows and could hear it. So that's not really going to the concert, is it, judges? That's a joke. So I didn't actually see the Killers. What we did was we put a laptop on and streamed the concert and then also could hear it out the window. Still, no, I'm not fooling anybody. Joe and I just made a fantasy trade. How about that? Hang out together long enough? Doesn't really take that much in my case, or I think in Joe's either. So good luck in those at the Rolling Stones ticket contest there, and we have another pair of tickets to give away next hour. I think it's for a different show, but still another chance to win here this hour. Zach Bogosian waived by the Sabres today. That almost definitely ends his career with them. He was a part, if not an integral part, of the Evander Kane trade with Winnipeg. Myers and Bogosian. And I never minded it. I never minded the Myers for Bogosian piece there because I didn't think Tyler Myers was somebody I needed to build around either. Didn't expect Bogosian to become that or to be that. But it would have been nice. I mean, he had injuries. You know, you just did not really get good value there at all. So good luck to him. Maybe he'll get another chance in the NHL. Would you expect that he does, Joe? I would say yes, I think. Bogosian plays in the league. I would say yes.
I would say probably on, even like at the worst, he could be one of those, like you see those veterans bounce around in training camp, like, oh, this guy got a PTO. And he's in, like Drew Stafford's in camp with the Devils, and then he ends up winning a spot. So maybe he's at worst one of those. But I don't know if it has to happen. I remember thinking about Mike Weber for this a couple years ago. He got traded for a third-round pick. Like, oh, a third-round pick, which was a lot, it seemed like, for Mike Weber. And then the next year, he didn't play. Like, he was in Sweden.
That was it.
I don't think it has to happen, but I would guess it will.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Coming up on 6 o'clock, lines open at 803-0550. Another hour to go, and then the nightcap with Joe at 7. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.